December 2nd. Our reading in the Old Testament for today will be from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 11, verse 1. In chapter 9 of Daniel, we'll read about insight. Even though he received visions from God and could interpret dreams, Daniel still read the scriptures and sought to understand them. While pondering Jeremiah 25, he understood that the 70 years of Jewish captivity would soon end. Not all world events have prophetic significance, but God's people should keep their eyes open. We'll also read about instruction. God gave Daniel a preview of Jewish history. Jerusalem would be rebuilt and the temple restored. Messiah would come and die. An evil prince would break his covenant with the Jews and trigger desolation. But God would triumph, and Jerusalem would become truly a holy city. You know, men are free to make decisions and even rebel against God if they want to, but he will accomplish his purposes in the world. With confidence, you can pray, "Thy kingdom come." And then we'll learn that God instructs us. Why did it take so long for the angel to come to Daniel? Because of a spiritual battle in the heavenlies. When you pray, you become a part of spiritual warfare. So do not take lightly your times of prayer. The angel also instructed Daniel about the future of his people. Well, Daniel's companions did not see the vision or hear the voice, but in terror fled away, as we shall see. God still needs people like Daniel, who see the glory of God, hear the word of God, feel God's touch, and enter into the spiritual battle. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. December 2nd, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, through chapter 11, verse 1. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the writings of the prophets. I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I wore rough sackcloth and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, "O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and keep your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke your messages to our kings and princes and ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right, but our faces are covered with shame, just as you see us now. This is true of us all, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings, princes, and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your law and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out against us because of our sin. You have done exactly what you warned you would do against us and our rulers. Never in all history has there been a disaster like the one that happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. All the troubles he predicted have taken place. But we have refused to seek mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. The Lord has brought against us the disaster he prepared, for we did not obey him. And the Lord our God is just in everything he does. O Lord our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city of Jerusalem, your holy mountain. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. O our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, listen to me and hear my request. Open your eyes and see our wretchedness. See how your city lies in ruins, for everyone knows that it is yours. We do not ask because we deserve help, but because you are so merciful. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, for your people and your city bear your name. I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given. I'm here to tell you what it was, for God loves you very much. Now listen, so you can understand the meaning of your vision. A period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to put down rebellion, to bring an end to sin, to atone for guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times. After this period of 62 sets of seven, the Anointed One will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing, and a ruler will arise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple. The end will come with a flood, and war and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. He will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven, but after half this time, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. Then, as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration until the end that has been decreed is poured out on this defiler. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. It concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. And Daniel understood what the vision meant. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 weeks. All that time, I had eaten no rich food or meat, had drunk no wine, and had used no fragrant oils. On April 23rd, as I was standing beside the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing, with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a dazzling gem. From his face came flashes like lightning, and his eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice was like the roaring of a vast multitude of people. I, Daniel, am the only one who saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to watch this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. When I heard him speak, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then, a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, O Daniel, greatly loved of God, listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling with fear. Then he said, Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, I am terrified by the vision I have seen, my Lord, and I am very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are deeply loved by God. Be at peace, take heart, and be strong. As he spoke these words, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, Now you may speak, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. He replied, Do you know why I have come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, and then against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece. But before I do that, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. There is no one to help me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince. I've been standing beside Michael as his support and defense since the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. December 2nd. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will be from the book of 1 John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. We'll go through chapter 3 and verse 6. In Jesus Christ, you have an advocate, representing you before God's throne. When you sin, confess it to him, and receive his faithful forgiveness. In him, you also have an example, and you should walk just as he walked. Ask the indwelling Holy Spirit to make you more like Jesus Christ, and saturate yourself with his life as you read the Gospels. From Jesus Christ, you have a commandment to love God's people. The Father gave this commandment to Israel, and the Son to his disciples, and the Spirit enables us to obey it today. Because of Jesus Christ, you have a family. The members are at different stages of spiritual development, but all can receive the Word and grow. How wonderful it is when the little children become young men and then fathers. Now you also have some enemies: the world and the false teachers. Christians who love the world lose the enjoyment of the Father's love and the desire to do his will. We overcome the world with God's love and the liars with God's truth. And you have a wonderful hope: the coming of Jesus Christ. Abide in him so you will not be ashamed when he comes. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. December 2nd. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, through chapter 3, verse 6. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the end of the world has come. These people left our churches because they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left us, it proved that they do not belong with us. But you are not like that, for the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and falsehood. And who is the great liar? The one who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Such people are antichrists, for they have denied the Father and the Son. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will continue to live in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I have written these things to you because you need to be aware of those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you all things, and what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So continue in what He has taught you, and continue to live in Christ. And now, dear children, continue to live in fellowship with Christ, so that when He returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from Him in shame. Since we know that God is always right, we also know that all who do what is right are His children. See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children, and we really are. But the people who belong to this world don't know God, so they don't understand that we are His children. Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when He comes, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who believe this will keep themselves pure, just as Christ is pure. Those who sin are opposed to the law of God, for all sin opposes the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, for there is no sin in Him. So if we continue to live in Him, we won't sin either. But those who keep on sinning have never known Him or understood who He is. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. We'll read about the fact that God is your helper. The God who made the hills is the God who gives you help. He is a God of the hills and the valleys, and His help is available to all who will call upon Him. God is your keeper. The pilgrims traveled together for fellowship and safety because the roads were dangerous. The dangers in modern society are just as great, if not greater. We live in a violent, evil, and wicked world, full of people who do harm to others. But God goes before you, and He stays awake to guide you and guard your path. He is next to you and over you, and He will take you safely to Zion. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8, a song for the ascent to Jerusalem. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep. Indeed, He who watches over Israel never tires and never sleeps. The Lord Himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not hurt you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all evil and preserves your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Proverbs 28, verses 27 and 28. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but a curse will come upon those who close their eyes to poverty. When the wicked take charge, people hide. When the wicked meet disaster, the godly multiply.